So I want to follow up a little bit on that message on Ayin Vav 5776 tonight with a message preparing the way for a new season of faith and a new wineskin for the new move of God. I was really touched while we were singing tonight because most of the songs weren't on the list, and then a couple on the list made it in, but every one of them had a line from my message in it. I'm sitting there thinking, well, God knows what he was doing. Lisa was supposed to be speaking tonight. And so this was a message that I thought I would prepare for later, and this morning I prepared it. So to move into the new, we have to understand God's covenant order. You will see covenant defined in your spheres of influence this year. So every place where you are influenced and where you influence, you will see covenant defined. It either won't be there or it will be being established there. You'll know where you want to be because there's covenant. So we have to rejoice over every circumstance that we find ourselves in. Paul said, count it all joy. Paul said, rejoice, and again I say, rejoice. This is a time where we need to be learning how to rejoice no matter what's happening around us. We can rejoice in the fact that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father and that you are seated right there next to him. Transition is going to cause you to find out where your leaks are. Every time you have to move someplace, every time you transition, you find out where the leaks are. Thank you for those of you who were praying for Jess. They found a whole bunch of leaks all over Columbia, South Carolina this week. I believe that the Lord is doing something prophetic in that state. That state caused a change in this nation earlier this year. And I believe that there's a whole bunch of stuff, as I was praying earlier this week, that's being washed out in the natural that he's dealing with in the spiritual. Thousands of years worth of stuff. And what did the news say? This is a 1,000-year flood. How do they know? This is a flood of biblical proportion. But every time we go through a transition, we're going to find where the leaks are. We're going to find where our faith is leaking. And we're going to find where we need to move into that new wineskin so that it can't leak. We have to learn how to do exploits. That means we have to learn how to make do with what we have. You know, you can feed thousands of people, and you don't need a big bank account to do it. How many of you have been working through the daily devotion by Roland and Heidi Baker? Have you gotten to the bag of cookies yet? God loves you so much that he will use you and multiply what you've got. You've got to learn to use what you have. The only miracle that was talked about in all four Gospels was the feeding of the 5,000. Which was probably closer between 15 and 20,000 when you put men and women and children together in there. And each gospel is a little bit different. But one time Jesus said to the disciples, what do you have in your hand? And so you need to learn to do exploits with what you have, not with what you hope to have. Because Father wants to take that one little sandwich and feed the community. He wants to do a Heidi Baker in you and take 1 pound of spaghetti and feed 800 hungry children. We've seen him do it, and I think he did it when we were in the Lutheran church to touch my unbelieving and doubtful heart. When twice as many people showed up for a covered dish dinner with nothing in their hands, and then a youth group from out of town came to minister, which quadrupled the number that was at the dinner. And I, being the leader of the church, thought that there wasn't going to be enough and there was leftover. He can do through you whatever you allow him to do with what you have. See, in this season, we need to begin to think like this. How is God ordering my life for the future? Not, what am I going to do? How am I going to make it? But God, how are you ordering my life for the future that you've ordained for me? Because the book that he wrote about you in heaven, he wrote before he ever created the solar system. He hasn't changed his mind about what he would like to do through you and for you. So I have to begin to think, Lord, how are you ordering my life for the future? How are you preparing me to be in the place, equipped to do what you need me to do when you need me? So if that's a month from now or a year from now, and then I get to that place and I do that, how do I get to the place he wants me to be 5 years from now and 10 years from now, ready to do what he desires to do? When you go places in this season, you have to understand the authority structure that you're entering. Time and place. When Casey and I go to Milwaukee this week, there's an authority structure that we're going to operate under. I've asked both permission and I will ask forgiveness if I have to minister a message of life in a Catholic church as part of the memorial service. When we go to Uganda, we are under a different authority structure than we're under here. And we have to understand what that authority structure is so that we can release not only the revelation, but the authority of heaven into that place. And they see things like witchcraft broken. They see things like droughts ended. Because God honors authority structures. And when you come under and submit to the authority structure that invites you, it releases the authority he's put in you as his ambassador to do the things he's created you to do. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 8 says, when the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of man, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the numbers of the sons of Israel. See, he set boundaries for a land as a part of understanding what his covenant was with that people group. Deuteronomy 32, verse 8. The word for boundary is gibula. It happens to be a vav word connecting the two pieces, the past and the future, together. Gibula means a region, a border, a coast, a landmark, or a place. This is a year for us to see our boundaries expanded, but if we don't understand what our boundaries are in time and in space, then we won't know how the Lord wants to expand those. Without understanding Israel, and that's why we get that pattern throughout the Old Covenant, because Jesus is in every passage. If you don't understand Israel, it's going to be difficult to understand your apostolic call. You are sent. That's what apostolic means. Everyone since the 12 that Jesus breathed on, everyone that he said go, he said apostolos, go. You are sent. You are sent ones. Some of you are sent into education. Some of you are sent into business. Some of you are sent into family. Some of you are sent into government. Wherever he sends you, it doesn't have to be a missions trip. For most of us, for 32 years, I was a missionary in the marketplace. I had a job to do, but I had a call that was higher than that job. I saw people saved, I saw people healed, I saw some people delivered, I saw some people set free, I saw some people born again. That's bigger than anything I ever did for my employer. What you do for God, including what you do for your employer, is part of what you're sent to do. See, if you don't understand Israel, you also will not understand your authority. Because all of the authority that you have comes through Christ, who came from Abraham and from Adam. So we're just about done, and I'll send my notes out on the next month, but we're just about done with Tishri. The new Hebraic month starts at sunset, I believe, if I get my dates right, on Wednesday. Could be Tuesday. But in 1 Kings 8, verse 2, we see this month mentioned. This is the month of Tishri. But that is the Chaldean name for this month. That's what this month has been called for centuries. But the Hebrew name for this month mentioned in 1 Kings 8, verse 2 is Ethim. We get the word Ethan from it. It means strength channeled into a steady flow. Strength channeled into a steady flow or an unwavering flame. Isn't that what we sang about tonight? Make me salt, make me light, let your holy fire ignite. Reveal your glory, strength channeled through a steady stream. That's what this month is about, allowing the Lord to pour his glory through us so that we can be directed like a water course wherever he will. It's not just the king in the White House or the king in the Tower of London or the queen. You are all kings under the Lord and priests. See, unless you understand your first and your alignment, you're never going to understand what the apostolic is all about and create your prototype. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in a few minutes. But if you don't understand first, because God is always about first, what happened on the first day? What happened on the third day was important. We are in a third day. If you don't understand first fruits, you never understand what the victory is that Jesus did for you, because he's the first fruits from the dead, according to the book of Hebrews. If you don't understand your first, then you don't understand the apostolic authority you have by aligning with he who is first and allowing him to create something new, a prototype that he meant for you to be in the earth. We're in the 5770s, the season of Ion. And one of the meanings of Ion is to spring up, or a well. And this year, out of your well, a new roar is going to rise. You can either allow that roar to crescendo, that's the roar of the tribe of the line of Judah, through you, or you can stifle that roar. But I think we sang something tonight about being bold for him and letting him be displayed through us. See, Psalm 119 literally said, "And I will share your testimonies before kings, and I will not be ashamed." That's the roar of the Lord going through you when you speak of the things that he's done. And not be ashamed about it. "Well, I wish I could tell you about Jesus because I know he wants to heal that broken bone." No, you're going to boldly say, "I know that the Lord heals those bones." Casey and I were in a meeting on Friday, and they were telling us a story of when their son was very badly near death, damaged in an automobile accident, and a relative came up from the south with a little prayer cloth, and they thought they were going to put it on him. So sometime in the middle of the night, when just two cousins were together with him in the room, the Lord spoke to the young lady who brought the prayer cloth up and said, "Put it on the broken bone in his arm." The bone was like this. It had never been set because they weren't sure he was going to make it. He's alive and well. And she didn't think that was what she was supposed to do. She said, but I thought I was going to put it on his head. And he said, no, put it on his arm. I want to heal his arm tonight. So they laid it on his arm. They prayed. And when they did the x-ray, his bone was perfectly aligned and whole. They got before and after x-rays. See, when you allow the roar of the Lord, the testimony that he puts in you to speak, that will go out into your sphere of influence. This year is a year to let the roar in your well become new and to a new level. Right now we're hitting a crucial time interval that propels us through the next 5 years. We talked a little bit about that last week. It gets us through the 5770s and it gets us into the 5780s. And we really need to navigate that through this time of war. It will be 5 years of war around the earth. If someone's saying peace, peace, they are not declaring the message of the Lord, because he will be your peace in the midst of the battles, but we're going to have to go through it. By June of next year, the Chinese church will come out of its hiddenness. The things that have been hidden, remember we talked about El Olam, the everlasting God. Olam means concealed. Those things that have been concealed, he's about to reveal, and the Chinese church is going to be revealed in a mighty way. They believe that by 2030, that's just 15 years from now, we'll be around. They will have 300 million Christians. I believe they'll have it before then. That's more than all of the people in Canada, in the United States, in Mexico. They will have more Christians in China than there are people in part of North America, the largest three countries of North America. Now, I hear we're getting a lot more people, so we're just going to have to believe that they'll get born again too. Did you hear what I just said? It doesn't matter where they come from, they're his. Every person on earth has to make the same choice you and I make. Jesus is Lord, or at some point in eternity, they're going to get on their knees and confess with their mouth that he is and wish that they had done it while they were here. Now, it takes 7 years to form a new wineskin. That's a number of completeness. It's interesting. Did I talk last week about Dutch Sheets and the El Olam? Okay. In May 2008, Chuck Pierce was taken up in a vision when he was getting ready to speak at Ellis Island. He never did speak. He had a 4-hour visitation in heaven, and the Lord showed him 153 nations that would be sheep nations, and he showed them every state in the United States, which one were going to be sheep states and which ones were going to be goat states. He showed them a bunch of things about every state. I have his map from New York of where the glory centers are, where the iniquitous thrones are, and where the glory streams come across the state. Around the same time, Dutch Sheets began to teach on the appeal to heaven, the everlasting God, the boxing, knocking out five giants with everlast and evergreen, the two gloves, and then the appeal to heaven flag being revealed that it was the first flag over the Massachusetts Navy, and it was the flag that Washington flew over the Continental Army when he fought. And it was the rallying cry of our Continental Congress when they couldn't come to decisions. And even the ones that we don't today say were Christian said, we need to stop and appeal to heaven. And they would pray. We're getting back to that. So that's a 7-year period of time. this wineskin has been forming. Like I mentioned last week, I said to Dutch after he spoke, I said, I found this ayin vav word, olam, that's used in Genesis by the Holy Spirit, that Abraham planted a tamarisk tree, that evergreen tree, and called upon El Olam, the everlasting God. I said, could it be that in this seventh year, this is the time the Lord's going to begin to move in that new awakening that people have been praying about? What we're seeing is that apostolic centers now, after 7 years, are arising for apostolic delivery and prophetic revelation so that we can release fiery saints into their call. The purpose of an apostolic center is to equip every believer to do the work of Jesus. That's a fiery saint. That the world can't blow out. They can't snuff you. They can't quench you. You're not smoldering anymore. You're a fiery saint. We just completed Ayin He, a He year, the fifth year, a year of transition that announces that the windows of heaven are shifting. And last year we saw the windows of heaven shift. And if you haven't seen them shift, the good news is Hebraically you have until Passover for Ayin He to be fully completed and Ayin Vav to be fully in effect. I'm so glad that God doesn't think like us. January 1st to December 31st, you didn't make it, you're done. Isn't that the way we do it in business? You didn't meet your goals. God says, no, I love you so much, I'm going to give you another 6 months to get into what I'm doing. The heavens shifted last year. Supernaturally and naturally. Look at the weather patterns. That's the natural outpouring of it. Covenant is aligned from heaven to earth. That's the Vav through you. Covenant doesn't go this way. We talked about that with the Tower of Babel last week. It comes from heaven down to earth. And because you carry Christ in you, you are the Vav that he wants to touch the earth with. See, we have to exhibit the new wineskin. That's the choice. If you get a chance, go onto the Gloria Zion website and look at their poster for 5776. It's the hammer of the Lord, the word of the Lord, driving a Vav in front of the gates so that we can be prepared to secure the gates for our future. We're going to talk about that in a couple minutes. Ayin Vav, the year that we're in, is the year that the whole season connects. Where we've been coming from for the past 70 years, and there's only three of us in the room that remember the last 70 years, connects this year. Everything that the Lord has been doing for the last 70 years connects this year. We talked a little bit about 70 last week, too. Every year in an Ayin season, Ayin is an apostolic season, so this whole 70 season we're in is an apostolic season. Every year in that Ayin season, you come to a crossroad. Everyone thought, oh, good, I made it to the crossroad last year. Every year, you're going to make it to a crossroad. 57, 76, this year, we're coming to another crossroad. We will have to make choices. Next year, the year after, and the year after, every one of these years, the Lord is bringing us to new crossroads to get us into the place where he desires to be in the future. This year is really about evaluating how you are apostolically aligned and connected. This year of Ayin Vav is for us to see where are we connected. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we talked about last week that the first use of Vav in Scripture is in the first verse of the Bible. The heavens Vav the earth. The heavens come into apostolic alignment with the earth at the moment that he created it. It sets the pattern for the whole rest of the scripture. There will be an explosion, like I said last week, of apostolic prayer this year. You will find decrees being placed upon your heart to make so that those things that you decree according to Job 22:28 come to pass and light shines upon your path. Make me salt and make me light. In making those decrees, ask the Lord to establish your vision and ask him to expand your borders this year. That's two of the things that he wants each of us to do with him. Establish my vision so I can see where it is you want me to be in the future, and expand my borders so that I know the sphere of influence and authority that you've given me. See, this is a year to secure your victory and ensure your future. What you connect to this year should help you launch into the things that the Lord has for you in the future. At the crossroads this year, there's going to be a new fullness of David's tabernacle being released. You are the tabernacle. But there's going to be a new fullness of that revelation of worship, so that out of the worship, we can be effective in warfare. Did you think that David just had this big tent on Mount Moriah so that they could go hang out? No, they worshiped and got strategies to war so that the territory could be expanded and that the enemies of God could be expelled from the land. Every one of the enemies they fought was a spiritual type that we fight. Maybe someday we'll do a teaching on that. The Amalekites, the Moabites, the Jebusites. Habitation is where the ark is positioned for the future. Right here. It should be. Will he find you to be his habitation, the place where the ark rests? See, we need to know where and how we're connected and aligned so that we know, is the ark able to move into the new things that the Lord is doing? Or is it so constrained by religious ritual and tradition and political correctness that the ark doesn't even hold any glory? In Acts 17:26, the Amplified reads, "And he made from one common origin, one source, one blood, all nations of men to settle on the face of the earth, having definitely determined their allotted periods of time and their fixed boundaries for their habitation, their settlements, their lands, and their abodes." You know, you're here, as it is said, in the year of our Lord 2015, because this is where God made you to be at this point in time. In time and space, you're where he created you to be before there was ever a heaven and an earth. Because he has something he wants you to do as his ambassador. And if you don't understand Israel and you don't understand your boundaries, your spheres of authority, then the enemy can easily move you to some place where you don't have the authority God intended you to have. I'll make it personal. Someone asked us why we don't move to Tennessee. It's where we chose to live. It was the desire of where we wanted to be. It's where all three of our children were born. It's where all of our children and grandchildren live. And I said, because the Lord called us to be here. And until he calls us to be someplace else, I have to be here. Because if I move to Tennessee, the Lord will probably tell my son and his family to move to Honduras. And then I won't be with them, and I won't be where I am. See, I can be saved anywhere in the earth, but I can only be righteous right with the Lord where he calls me and asks me to be. So we are here because he's asked us to be here. There's a whole different sermon in that I'm not going to touch. So I want to end sometime with seven questions to define your apostolic alignment. We'll go through them and I'll repeat them again at the end. Seven questions to define your apostolic alignment. Things we should be asking ourselves. Number one. Boy, I sure do make typos. Who are you following? In Genesis chapter 11, we see the Tower of Babel. It takes us from the place of man's attempt to reach heaven without God. That's what every false religion does, by the way. To the place where the Lord is defining the lineage of Abram, who would become the father of his first nation. So we see idolatry in its most arrogant form all the way through the end of chapter 11. Abram being called out of a familiar place of idolatry so the Lord can make his first nation. So who are you following? Number two, what promise and prophetic word are you pursuing? What promise and prophetic word are you pursuing? I know the ones I'm pursuing. In Genesis 12, again we see when God calls you, his word and call is a promise to you. When God called Casey and I to stay here in this region, it was just as sure as we took our Bible and there was something the Lord spoke. And he's honored about half of the words so far in our time that he spoke. We rejoice because he said all of our relatives and loved ones, we have a joy in our relationship with them, and we've been asking him for 29 and a half years to make it the joy of his salvation burning in their hearts. You war with your prophetic words. Like every prophetic word, your call is conditional upon your passionate pursuit of the one who called you. In other words, if I don't remind the Lord of that prophetic word, not nag him like, when are you going to do it, but say, Lord, I thank you that you've promised me this, and I know that you're going to fulfill it when it brings you glory. If I don't remind him of the call that he has on our lives, if I don't pursue him more than I do that call, if I don't pursue him more than I do that prophetic word, if I don't have a passion for him more than I do my wife, my children, and everything else in life, then my priorities are wrong, and I will compromise. I will begin pursuing something else. Will he test us in this? He tested us. Before we moved to New York, we said, Lord, we're yours wherever you want us to be. And then he gave us this one-year assignment. And at the end of the one-year assignment, he gave me a promotion that I was 20 years younger than anyone else who had ever gotten that promotion to work with the CEO of the company. That's what I turned down to go back. I turned down nothing to gain everything. See, if the career is more important, if the house is more important, if the boat and the toys are more important than the one who has it all, then I'm pursuing the wrong thing. Number three, how are you creating, and what is the catalyst that is creating your warfare and determining your boundaries for the future? How are you creating, and what is the catalyst that is creating your warfare and determining your boundaries for the future? We're picking on Abraham tonight because he's the friend of God. In Genesis 14, verses 14 through 16, we read, when Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he led out his trained men born in his house, 318, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, he and his servants, and he defeated them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. He brought back all the goods, and also brought back his relative Lot, his possessions, and also the women and the people. See, when you build for the kingdom, you have to see your warfare as clearly as you do your blessings. When you build for the kingdom, you have to see your warfare as clearly as you do your blessings. And too many Christians are looking where the blessings are, and they get blindsided by the battle. They don't want to go into the war that the Lord's already given them victory on, and the smell of fear, demons and dogs smell fear. The smell of fear already puts them in a place of defeat because they've denied the victory of the blood that set them free. The scripture says that Abram the Hebrew, that's the first time the word Hebrew is used in scriptures here in Genesis 14. Hebrew means the one who crossed over. When Abram crossed over with the Lord, he became the Hebrew. When you cross over that obstacle that separated you from the promise, you become Hebrew, the one who crossed over, the one who believed the Lord more than all of the stuff that's around him. If you read that entire story, Abram's father was one of the chief of the idol makers. He was from a long line of moon worshipers. That's what Allah means. When Abram, the Hebrew, understood the call, he was willing to go through war because he knew that his call also meant he had to have Lot in position to fulfill his call. My call means that Casey has to be in position to fulfill her call, Bill and his family, Jess and her family, and all of you. Do you see how that works? Our calls are dependent upon one another in the Lord. Abram understood that he had to go to war. He could have just sat there in his blessings, but he knew the promise wasn't complete. Was he the father of many nations? Not yet. He is the father of many nations, but he wasn't yet at that point. And he knew that he had to go to war for that promise. Are you willing to go to war for the promise? Those you are connected and aligned with should always be a catalyst for discerning when and against what you are to go to war. Those that you're aligned with, if someone's doing something to Casey or my kids, and when I say someone, I mean demonic. If people are, I need to pray. I don't war against people. We don't war against flesh and blood. But I know I have to go to war if they're touching the covenant relations of my life. Do you understand the covenant relations of your life? Abram did. Here's a couple of quotes from the 18th and the 20th century. To be prepared for war is one of the most effectual means of preserving peace. George Washington. You can't have shalom, which is God's presence, his provision, his salvation, his strength, his security, and his peace, unless I'm willing to war. I can have shalom in the midst of war. But I can't have it if I'm not willing to war. The world will not be destroyed by those who do evil, but by those who watch and do nothing. Albert Einstein. The angels are watching us, the body of Christ, right now. They are ready to war against the darkness. That warfare this year and this entire decade, because Aaron, watcher, is an Ion word, that war is intensifying every year. But we, as we worship, release the angelic host to do what Father created them to do. Number four, who are you giving to that is more legitimate than you? Who are you giving to that is more legitimate than you? Genesis 14, verses 17 through 24. So Abram's just finished coming back from rescuing Lot from the four kings who went against the five kings. Then after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Sheba, that is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. He blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." He gave him a tenth of all. The king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give the people to me and take the goods for yourself." Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have sworn to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or a sandal thong or anything that is yours, for fear that you would say, 'I have made Abram rich.' I will take nothing except what these young men have eaten, and the share of the men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them take their share." See, when you win your wars, the Lord is always going to come out to you with accolades and applaud and shower you with temporary honor. But when you win your wars, the Lord will always come to you with communion. It's one of the reasons why we take communion every week, because every week we've gone through a war. Every week we have persevered. Every week we need to remember that it's He who made the way, and He who is the way, and He who is our victory. In the midst of the accolades and the spoils of war, where are you sowing into something or someone that is greater than you? That's why Shepherd's Heart gives 10% of everything we receive into other ministries that are doing the work of the Lord around the world, locally, in our Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts. See, when you give into someone that's greater than you, your heritage and your inheritance are established. When you give into something or someone that is greater than you, it gives you the legal right in the spirit realm to pull their authority, or to drink from their well. So, because we're aligned with Glory of Zion, we sow into Glory of Zion, who sows into ministries around the world. But we get to drink of their anointing. We get to freely call upon them for the things that we need in the spirit, and sometimes in the natural. It's a spiritual principle that most Christians don't understand. If you have ever lived on a well, I grew up on a farm, I know what it means to pump your water. If you don't prime the well, you don't get any flow from the pump. If you want to move apostolically, we have to sow into something that is bigger than us. This body does. Number five, who are you willing to fully submit to and worship with? Who are you willing to fully submit to and worship with? In Genesis 22, verse 1, the Amplified reads, "And after these events, God tested and proved Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham.'" And he said, "Here I am." We sang about that tonight. Test me, try me, prove me. Tested means to refine so that there's no dross. The Lord, after all of these events and all these good things, now he's becoming the father of two sons. The Lord's going to test him. Will you worship when he leads you through tests to refine you and bring the glory of his presence to bear in your life? We've all been through some refining in this past year. We've all had experiences that really tested where we were. And wasn't it nice? He didn't judge us. He just scooped off the dross that came up when we gave him our heart again. We sang that tonight, didn't we? Here's my heart. When I allow that test to bring up all the puke, pardon the adjective, and let him take it, there's a little bit purer vessel for his glory left. That's the testing. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw. We're in the third day. This is the third day since Christ rose. A day in the life of the Lord is 1,000 years. So we just entered. We're 14 years into the third day. Jesus is coming back sometime this day. I don't believe it's going to be in the next 10 years. I don't see it scripturally, but I know he's coming back sometime in this day. We have to look up and see the Lord. Abram was looking down, but the answer is when you look up. There's a whole sermon in that, and you go through this passage in Genesis 22. They were looking down many times, and every time they looked up. You can go back to Moses in the burning bush. He was looking down, but when he looked up, he saw the bush burning and not consumed. See, when you look up, you see the answer from he who is seated at the right hand of God. Abraham looked up to see the Lord in a place of worship. So how old was Isaac? 25 and 33 years of age by most biblical scholars. 25 is the youngest because you take the age that Sarah was when he was born and the age that he was when she died, and you figure out that it wasn't too far from there. Josephus was one of the Hebrew scholars in biblical time of Christ. He believes he was 25. Other scholars believe he was closer to 33, which is interesting because that's how many years that the tabernacle of David existed, who was 14 generations away from Abraham. And that's how many years Jesus walked the earth. At any point, he wasn't a little boy. And because it says the lads went with him, or these lads weren't just little boys. They weren't 5 and 6 and 7 years old. These lads were carrying firewood. These lads were masculine men. This man, Isaac, allowed his father to tie him up and put him on the altar. Not some little boy, "Daddy, what are you doing?" "Father, not my will, but yours be done." That was the attitude. See, Abraham was at least 125 years old at that point. Right? He was 100 when he was born. Isaac was at least 25. But they agreed to worship together. That's the point. Two generations agreed to worship the Lord as the Lord chose. Abraham and Isaac submitted together on Mount Moriah to worship into the future. That's how we started tonight. When we worship, we are preparing the future for our children, our children's children, and their children after them. It's not about us. It's about Father Oikos building with generations his ecclesia, his legislative force in the earth. I will build my church is how it's translated in English. Jesus said, I will Oikos, I will build with the generations. It was demonstrated with Abraham and Isaac. This year, Ayin Vav 5776 is about standing so that your seed will possess the gates of their enemies. We're standing so that our children will possess the gates of their enemies and their children will possess the gates of their enemies, because that's what Father said he would do. The saddest, one of the saddest passages in Scripture was Hezekiah, after he was given 15 years more life. And he was told that the kingdom would not fall in his time, but in the time of one of his sons. And he said, good, it'll be well in my life. That is not a kingdom heart. Will you stand and worship as the Lord requires you to stand and worship? Number 6. Are you being taught or are you being fathered and mothered to create a new prototype? 1 Corinthians 4:15 reads in the Amplified, after all, though you should have 10,000 teachers, guides to direct you in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the glad tidings, the gospel. See, the Bible teaches and Christ demonstrated that we are unique because of relationship with the Father. That is the only thing that separates Christianity from religion. A relationship with the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit. Father created you to be a prototype for his glory. Aren't you glad they threw away the mold when they made me? Each of us is a prototype for his glory. He wants to create something new through you that will bring him even more glory. A prototype is a first. It's typical or a primary model of something from which other forms are being developed or copied. Jesus was, is, and always will be the prototype, fully submitted to the Father and led by the Holy Spirit. That's what we are supposed to be made in his image and likeness, fully submitted to the Father and led by Holy Spirit. Then he can send us anywhere. How many of you would have signed up for baptism if immediately after the Holy Spirit came out on you, you had to be tested by every demon in creation for 40 days and 40 nights? Scripture says Jesus was led by the Spirit into that wilderness place. But God, he showed us the pattern in Christ. We are in a season where the Holy Spirit will align you with and connect you to apostolic fathers and mothers. I love... See, fathers and mothers who are truly apostolic will desire to see you fulfill your destiny and become a prototype in the new wineskin for God's glory. I love watching Casey and Lisa minister to people. I love watching them mother people to see that they have a call and a destiny, and that's what they want to see fulfilled in the people that come to them for ministry. You are not too old. Remember Abraham? He was 125 when he chose to worship with the next generation. But I'm 80. So was Caleb. He was 85. remember Abraham. To become a prototype for his glory requires submission into an authority structure that is being imparted to you. We impart to you. We don't just want to teach you. We want to impart to you the authority that you have in Christ. But you have to choose to be submitted to your authority structures. You have to choose where that is. That's what this year is all about, being apostolically aligned. I know where I am. I know who two people in my life can say no to me, and that means it's over. One's sitting right here, and the other is Chuck Pierce. I don't even ask why when Chuck says no. I don't ask why when God says no. Why is not a biblical question. Number 7. How are you developing the army aligned with you? Did you know that there's an army with you? If you are a leader, if you have a family, if you are doing something in any of the mountains and have people that work with you, especially those that are Christian, how are you developing the army that's aligned with you? 2 Samuel 5, verses 1 through 3. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "Behold, we are your bone and your flesh. Previously, when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel out and in, and the Lord said to you, 'You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will be a ruler over Israel.' So all the leaders of Israel came to the king at Hebron. King David made a covenant with them before the Lord at Hebron. Then the Lord anointed David king over Israel." See, David had to see who was going to go with him. You got to check and see who's going to go with you. Once David knew who was with them, then he could begin moving forward to fulfill his apostolic mission. You know the whole story. He was over part of the tribes, and he was over all the tribes, but he had to wait to see what that was that the Lord spoke to him through Samuel the prophet. And then when it came to pass, then he knew it was time to move forward. Moving down to verses 6 through 10. Now the king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, and they said to David, "You shall not come in here, but the blind and lame will turn you away," thinking David cannot enter here. Nevertheless, David captured the stronghold of Zion, that is the city of David. David said on that day, "Whoever would strike the Jebusites, let him reach the lame and the blind who are hated by David's soul through the water tunnel. Therefore they say, 'The blind or the lame shall not come into the house.'" So David lived in the stronghold and called it the city of David. And David built all around from the Milo and inward. And David became greater and greater, for the Lord God of hosts was with him. And dropping down to verse 17 through 19. When the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek out David. And when David heard of it, he went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines came and spread themselves out in the valley of Rephaim. David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand." And down to verses 22 through 25. Now the Philistines came up once again and spread themselves out into the valley of Rephaim. When David inquired of the Lord, he said, "You shall not go up directly. Circle around behind them and come at them in front of the balsam trees. It shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then you shall act promptly. For the Lord will have gone directly before you to strike the army of the Philistines." Then David did so. And just as the Lord had commanded him, and struck down the Philistines from Geber as far as Gezer. We have to teach those that we lead to think differently and to wait upon the Lord and to simply do what he calls us to do. David simply stood by the balsam trees. And when the angel army started moving, he heard it. The angels went out and fought the war for him. That's what our worship is doing in this season. The watchers the angelic hosts of the Lord, are waiting for the obedience of the sons and daughters of God, so that in the simplest thing, he gets the glory, not us. The apostolic is an expression of the kingdom warring to accomplish or govern in a sent mission. David's mission was to defeat the Philistines. He was an apostolic representative. He was a kingdom representative. See, we've entered into a new season of faith. We have to believe God at his word and take action. Well, I believe God. Well, so does the devil. I believe in Jesus. So does the devil. We have to take action. We will see his kingdom come in every aspect of life and culture on earth as it is in heaven when we do those simple things. Obey the word of the Lord and take action. We have not been this way before. We are living in a unique time. No portion of the body of Christ has ever been in this place. We are preparing the way for a new season of faith so the Lord can create the wineskin that he desires for the next move of his glory. So, here are the seven questions. Who and how are you following? Two, what promise and prophetic word are you pursuing? Three, how are you creating and what is the catalyst that is creating your warfare and determining your boundaries for the future? Four, who are you giving to that is more legitimate than you? Five, who are you willing to fully submit to and worship with? Six, are you being taught or are you being fathered and mothered to create a new prototype? And seven, how are you developing the army aligned with you? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are raising up ambassadors of glory. Lord, who will passionately pursue you for the promise of your presence and all that comes with your presence. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters who have chosen to be called by your name when the world calls you names. I thank you for making them to be salt and light so that when the world is looking for answers, they will find hope in your sons and daughters as your ambassadors. I thank you, Lord, that you are preparing them to understand the path that you have for them, not just this year, but in the next 5 and 10 years, so that they are continually drawing closer to you and more of your glory is flowing through them. Lord, I thank you that you are teaching us how to worship you with whoever chooses to worship you in whatever generation they are in. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity for 4 generations to come together and worship you. And Lord, I thank you for the new songs that are flowing out of that worship. I thank you, Lord, that you show us how to honor you with the song that you put in our DNA. I thank you that you show each of us how to father and mother those that you call to be aligned with us so that they, Lord, will become your prototype for the next season. And I thank you, Lord, for developing us as an army that will be so yielded to you that when you say stop, we stop. When you say stand, we stand. And when you say run, we run. And Lord, I ask that you would always keep us mindful of the cross, so that we would apply the victorious blood of Jesus to every area and aspect and relation of our life, that we would not presume that we are covered until we know that you have covered us. In Jesus' name, amen. There is snacks next door. stay in fellowship. Have a blessed week. Remember, if you're going to go to the men's breakfast, I need to know by a week from tomorrow. I love you all. Have a blessed week.